Everybody, it's Michelle, and this is our loving kindness call 3 of 3. And I love this material. It is some of the central material for the entire year. It's some of the highest level material that we do. And it's deceptively simple, but to actually put it into practice, what is it to actually come from loving kindness in our companies, in our lives, and in our world is huge. Usually we start with Shavasana, but today you can be lying down or seated. I'm going to start today instead in a way that I don't know if we've ever done, strangely enough. Last time we were learning the metta meditation, the loving kindness meditation. So we're going to start with a metta meditation instead of Shavasana just for today. And again, seated or lying down, either way works. You want to be in a place where your heart center is open, where it's easy to breathe, where the shoulders can be back and down. So if you're on the floor, the chest is open, shoulders down. If you're seated, imagine a string drawing a crown, the crown of the head to the sky. In both postures, the heart is open, the mind is quiet, the body is at ease. Metta meditation, loving kindness meditation. The words are simple, but the effect profound. So metta meditation instead of Shavasana to begin. Softly closing your eyes, seated or lying down. Just feel the breath and be present in this moment. Know that all is well in this moment. Nothing needs to be added. Know where you need to be, but here. Just be present. And in this quiet space, notice what's in your heart center right now. Is it tightness or contraction? Are you worried about something? Are you distracted? Are you feeling vulnerable or safe? Are you feeling open-hearted? Just uneasy, frustrated. Any kind of negativity in that heart center, just notice it. Give it its own place in this moment. And then don't chase it away. Don't push it down. Just let it go. It's not needed right now. You can thank it for being, but let it go. Just let go of any feelings of negativity, anything that's not serving you. And in its place, in your heart center, feelings of worthiness, of love, of wholeness, all is wellness, knowing that all is well right here, right now. Let your heart fill with these feelings of ease, of love, of joy even. With each inhalation, allow these feelings to come in, not by force, but simply by allowing a space for them. And if they want to emerge here, wonderful. If not, that's okay too. Just opening a space for the heart. And in this quiet moment, we will begin the loving kindness practice together. I'll say the words aloud. You can just hear them, let them reverberate inside you. Nothing special you need to do. Just let the words drop in. Just watch, pay attention to the words. Just let them drop in. May I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now thinking of someone that you love, that it's easy to love, bring them to mind. Let their presence fill your heart. And we say the words of love and kindness for them. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then calling to mind a neutral person, somebody you feel neither love nor hate for, just neutral. Maybe a grocery store clerk, somebody you pass by on your walk, somebody you see but don't particularly have any feelings about. Bring them to mind and heart. Bring them close to you. See them before you. We say the words of love and kindness for that person. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then bringing to mind a person you've had some difficulty with. Don't pick your greatest enemy on the planet, the one who's hurt you the most. Maybe it's on a sports team and the opposing team. Maybe somebody was a little rude to you in traffic, like a difficult person. Know that they too want to be happy, that it's right and good that they should want this too, like all beings everywhere. Hold them in your heart in this moment. Just take the first person that comes to mind. Trust that. See them. We say the words of love and kindness for them. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then expanding out this circle of love and kindness. Bringing to mind and heart all beings everywhere, in all realms and all planes of existence, human, animal, plant, all beings, spirit. Oh, that there is a deep desire in the universe to be happy. We extend these feelings of love and kindness to all. Letting our hearts encircle the whole of the world and beyond. We say the words of love and kindness for all beings everywhere. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Loving kindness to all. Loving kindness to all. Loving kindness to all. Namaste, my friends, from the yoga tradition. It means the light in me sees and honors the light in you, always feels appropriate at the end of a loving kindness meditation. So taking time to come out of the posture you're in, taking a few deeper breaths, and coming to our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible. So we can be present here together. Nice to see you, Yvonne. Nice to see you, Mary Kay. It's like, wait, did my mic drop off? Welcome, Marnie. Great to see you. I see you, Wendy. I know you're on your way back. So I would love to hear the effect of this metta meditation. It seems funny to me. I don't remember starting a class with a metta meditation in this way that we do with Shavasana. Ever other than at retreats and in different, Yvonne, do you remember me doing it? That's 7 years worth almost, right? So how funny is that? A major oversight. I'd love to know the effect on your mind, heart, spirit. What was beautiful in this practice? What's the opening for you now? Who would like to share? Yvonne, thank you.
In all honesty, I was quite distracted. There's lots of noise going on next door. We're in a building, the house. And when you started it, I don't know what was triggering me, but there was some emotional kind of stuff bubbling up. And then I tried to distract myself even more because I just didn't want to go there. And I'm not even sure what there is. It was just, you know, might have been in your voice or I don't know, something was happening for me that I was like, okay. So I was creating more distraction, actually.
Well, actually, good to know about. That's in the yoga tradition. That's satya, truthfulness, right?
Yeah.
We don't get anywhere.
Oh, yeah. There's no point lying about it.
No, we get nowhere with happy face on empty gas gauge. And so good to know and good to investigate, you know, because this can be, a lot can come up in meditation, in Shavasana. And sometimes we... I know you deeply know that, Yvonne. And sometimes we want to know what it is, and sometimes we don't even need to know. Just there's something, when there's something when we're wanting to distract ourselves, there's probably something really important there.
Yeah, I know and, that. And I don't have time for it.
Well, exactly. That's the first thought that comes to mind is you've been doing so much. I know, my friend, you've been doing so much. So how much of love and kindness has actually been flowing to you rather than from you? Is your cup a little emptier than maybe it has sometimes been or could be?
Probably.
And that would be a good reason that the metta meditation might feel irritating, distract, or you wanting distraction or don't have time for it. It's giving us such important information and not to judge or anything like that. Just to notice that's interesting. Oh, it's telling me something, you know, and I had something similar actually just before. So thank you for that, my friend. Before I hear from, you know, others, I'd love to hear from one or two more about your experience in this. This was never done in 7 years. That's crazy. I can't believe that. So not in this way. I pulled out the my metta meditation mugs, and I just want to show them to you. They're beautiful. They're made by Marie's daughter, Emma, and she made them because of the metta meditation. As I say, Marie attended an entire week that circles around loving kindness, 2011, 12, and 13. Then her daughter started making these because of that. Now they're sold across Western Canada, at least. So, but it started many years ago. May I be safe, right? I own several copies of them, right? This is the one without handle, you know, may I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. They're beautiful reminders, right? May I be healthy. And may I live with ease. And one of the reasons that I want to show you, it's not unlike what Yvonne just said, even though it's a different kind of manifesting differently, but same idea. If Yvonne was distracted and, you know, there's some kind of irritation, I pulled these out on purpose to show you. And I'm like, I haven't been drinking out of these mugs lately. I, like, don't get me wrong, I've used these infinitely, But in that last while, not as much. Why is that? You know, good to notice. Paying attention, right? Has there been, is it some of the same that's going on with Yvonne? I've had a lot going on these days, right? A lot helping my daughter through. Have I been filling up my own cup or not? So tangible reminders, I encourage you to find, you know, I texted Marie to see if her daughter is still making these because I got these a few years ago. I assume she is. It could be this or something else. What are the tangible reminders around you? And then the practice isn't a practice unless we practice, right? When we know about the metta meditation in theory, it doesn't do anything. And so that's why I wanted to start with the practice today. And again, mea culpa, Maria's here, yay. Mea culpa, you know, have I been using this to the greatest extent? And then that's why I keep teaching it, keep teaching it, keep teaching it. Because I know that that's what I want to learn too at the deepest level. It moves everything. If this isn't here, nothing is there. So thank you for that, Satya, that truthfulness, Yvonne. Let's hear from one or two others. We've never done this. We've never started in this way with metta meditation before. Mary Kay.
Well, this time I could smile at being safe. And it went through all the way down to my toes everywhere.
Wow.
And then the negative person I was kind of afraid to try.
Yeah,
but I did anyway, and put all together with all everything all together. It changed. It shifted. It was, yeah, I could smile at that too.
I wanted you to experience this. And for those who arrived after the metta meditation, you'll have the recording, right? And when we go through those different people, the overall effect is can be astonishing, but don't look for that. Don't like, where's my astonishing experience? Remember the story I told you about Sharon Salzberg? She did just herself for a week out of doing this, preparing to practice this for a month. And she's like, that was useless. I just got to me. How useless is that? Well, training in that already saying that, right? And then she dropped the soap or whatever it was. And she said, you're such a klutz and I love you. That was the voice in her head. Like, what? My voice doesn't usually sound like this. You don't have to notice something happening for something to be happening with this practice. It's just patient awareness and then starting to incorporate it in your life. If you choose 5 minutes at the end of your day, right? And then you can start to incorporate it when you're driving. We don't drive as much these days, at least I don't, you know, when you're in traffic or walking down the street or, you know, somebody bumps into you. Oh, people don't do that anymore either. Something metaphorically bumps into you, you know, then we have access to it and we start it better to start it when nothing is going on, do you know? Not when we're driving somebody en route to the hospital or whatever, you know? And if already that is the case, that you're with some version of driving somebody to the hospital, well, then start now, right? Better start now, but no better time than now. And when we don't feel like we need it at that moment to start from plenitude and then just to enjoy the experience, not to have to make something of it. It's really, really powerful. One more story I'll share about that. Then I'd love to hear from one more of you about how this affected you. What did you feel? What did you notice? There's another story that I love, and I've experienced this now as well. Two former business partners, and it was really, did I tell this story last week? I love the story. It was really acrimonious. I mean, they just hated each other and couldn't get along. And the one secretly, you know, the other didn't know, but they didn't talk, started doing love and kindness toward the enemy, traditionally known as, right, the difficult person, his ex-partner. And they walked in for some kind of regular meeting where it was always horrible. And they barely said, I think he said hello. I said, like the one who was doing the love and kindness meditation said hello. And the other one just said, what's happened? Like, what's going on? And just felt the shift with no words spoken. The energy between them had shifted. All it takes is from that one person. It doesn't take the other person doing anything. And another story that's often told, and I used the bank teller for years when we used to go into banks, when I did this many, many years ago. And it's almost like, I don't know how to say this. End up having a secret love affair that they don't ever know about, you know, with this used to be neutral person. Go in, just, and it comes out of the practice. It comes out of just doing it. I'll go in and I just felt so good. I didn't feel anything about them before. There's also much to be gained from this, because just notice how easy is it to do it for ourselves. Sometimes that's really hard. We want to skip over to the other people, like Sharon Salzberg, one, like where the work really happens. Oh, then we really need that one for ourselves. sometimes it's hard to find somebody that we unconditionally love because we're just at odds with people. Good to know. It teaches us much, right? A lot. For me, my first go-to person for many, many years, when I was saying it with you, my go-to person is often my daughter. She's not the only one. There are people in this room I've done loving kindness meditations for as a person that, you know, I truly love and adore, right? So loved one. Then the neutral person. Sometimes it's hard to find a loved one. Sometimes we only find neutral people. We don't really feel anything for anybody. Good to know. Probably not in this room, my guess. But some people, like, we can't find any, you know, any, sometimes we can only find neutral people. And sometimes, and let me see, am I more like this? I don't know. Let me think. Yeah, I don't tend to feel neutrally about people. I see people and I care about them. I've been practicing this for a long time. It's harder to find a neutral person now. Right? So it just tells us, gives us information about things. The enemy, can I get upset with people? Of course I can. You know, I'm not beyond that at all. Ask people who, you know, ask my daughter, ask my family, you know. But maybe everybody feels that way. Or maybe we don't want to face that or whatever it is. So it gives us valuable information that we can't find from writing about our, you know, figuring out our ideal client in different ways or writing stuff about our company and our vision. All that's super important. But we will gain knowledge about what's really happening in our company and our lives in ways that I don't know how else to gain access to it. It's amazing just in noticing what happens. And with Marie, Marie's here. I hope you don't mind that I've shared this, Marie. You've allowed me to share this in many different arenas and many times in this community. So I hope you don't mind that I shared it. And it was many, many years ago, a different iteration of Marie, that it was just the first, in 2011, it was just the first line, may I be safe. And she did that for an entire week, changed everything. It's foundation of all the, if you see all the outstanding work that Marie's doing these days, it a big piece of it came from doing that then. Thank you, Marie. I hope you don't mind that I shared that. I didn't ask your permission this time, but I've asked you many, many times and you've always said yes. Do you want to add anything about that, Marie?
Yeah, that's good.
Good? Okay, thank you. Is Emma still selling the mugs? I already showed them.
Oh yeah, I have a whole set.
I have like three sets, you know, I think. I just, they're in my bathroom holding things. I you know, use them as mugs. They're pencil holders too. I love them so much. I have three sets, you know? So they're wonderful reminders. So thank you for that. All right, let's hear from one or two others. What did you experience for those who were here at the beginning with the metta meditation? Let's hear from one more. What did you experience? Anyone else like to share? Okay, then anything wanting to be shared just around the metta meditation, ahas from what I've shared about it. I'm happy to take any openings now. What's opening for you now? Yeah, Yvonne, thank you.
I think it was a great reminder for me that when you're doing, you know, when you're focusing on the difficult person, that they don't have to do anything.
No.
But it will still change the energetics. So that was, I like that reminder because I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, it's huge. Can I do a TMI? Is it okay? Something that's pretty close to, you know, pretty close into my heart. But I was doing this as I was guiding you through it. And sometimes the person who naturally comes up for me as the difficult one, the enemy, is Dana's dad, right? He comes up really easily for me, especially early on, you know, when we first split up many years ago. And so he came to mind. I trusted that. He's not feeling difficult right now, right? But what was interesting is it wasn't always that way. I mean, Marie was there in the room right after we split up. You know how it was then, right? And today, as I did it, there was just like a song in my heart. And I just saw the beauty in him so much. And I thought of times that we'd shared together and there was nothing, there was nothing in the way. And, you know, I don't share this. Jack Canfield personally told me to share this. I met him, spent a week beside him. He was at a retreat where I was teaching our Mexico retreat years ago. And there was a shaman who was doing like clearings and energy work on people at Mardahade. And so I did one of these, and the translator at the time, now am I always like this? No, of course not. But the translator at the time said, Michelle, I'm astonished. I've been translating for the shaman for years and years and years. Like many, many people come here. He's never said this before. He said, there's no blocks. I don't see any blocks. So he just gave you a blessing. I'd been practicing starting my day with Shavasana for many years. I've been practicing love and kindness meditation for many years. Am I like that at every moment? Probably not if you caught me in a different day. But she said, never had that happen. Jack Canfield said, great, take that and put it up on your website. Shaman says no blocks. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to do that. You know, right? It was direct advice. I'm like, thanks a lot. But no, that's private. That's personal. I'll share it with you guys though. And I'm sharing it for a reason. These practices are really powerful. And what I experienced just guiding you through it with my ex, for instance, is just like, just happiness, just joy, just love, just thinking about some beautiful moments in, you know, in his life and that I remember. That's powerful. Louise Hay has called the Abraham Hicks, you know, I love their teachings. And she said they're either the most powerful or one of the most powerful, you know, spiritual teachers on the planet. And one time somebody asked them, you know, will you boil down your teachings? Like, what's the most important thing? Like, if it was just had to say it in one sentence. And I only heard them say this once. They might have boiled it down in other ways, other times. But this once they said, make an enemy of no one. Make an enemy of no one. Make an enemy of no one. This practice is the best route there that I know of, because it transforms that traditional enemy into the loved one. How beautiful is that? And when we can do that, and then we sit in a strategy session and somebody tells us, oh, I don't like the price, or somebody tells us, you know, or our vendor doesn't do what we want them to do, or our kid doesn't go to bed at night or whatever, it was like, we just made peace with the enemy, you know, traditional enemy. All that stuff is like, whatever. Can you feel it? Did I find the words to say it? It wasn't anywhere in my notes. It's because of where our conversation went. What kind of power is that for our lives and our companies? All right. Any other ahas wanting to be shared? Okay, if you get that this is powerful, maybe more than the surface of the words would seem, raise your hand. Did I find the way there? Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Who's going to try practicing this at least once this week? Raise your hand. Just checking. At least once. Okay, thank you. And thank you for the honesty, right? Yeah, almost all of you. And I trust, thank you for your alignment. If you didn't raise your hand, oh, perfect. All right. Announcements. Let me go back. So today, I'll talk about that in a second. Give me a sec. Announcements. We have our Story Freedom Consolidation call in a couple of weeks. So May 27th, 12:30 Mountain Time, as usual. So I love these consolidation calls. A ton is going to move at Story Freedom. And when we draw the threads together, it goes so much more deeply, like 90% of what happens there, even when it's huge, right? So make sure you've got that marked on your calendars. Our next series is a Letting Go series, June 3rd, 10th, and 17th at our usual time. And we'll be coming out with a new calendar that extends dates out further soon. So stay tuned. Story Freedom, just a reminder to book your bonus ticket. If you haven't already, oh my goodness, you're gonna want to book your bonus ticket. So you can reserve it at storyfreedomlive.com. Choose enhanced access by using the promo code SFVIP. It's all caps, all right? SFVIP. And you can also, we've also given you the possibility to bring a friend. They can save $100 off registration. It is thousands. People have paid thousands to be in that room. SF2021 friend. And Yvonne, do you have those? Thank you. In front of you, SF2021 friend. They'll save $100 off their event ticket. So I think that brings it down to like $97. 3 days of deep dive training. It's just me. I am teaching and training for 3 days. The access that they gain, the life that could be changed when they're in that room. So who do you know who could use this? Just reach out and let them know. And then our Story Freedom Live bonus pre-event call, this is on Monday. I don't think I've even announced the dates before now. It's on Monday, this Monday, May 17th, 4 till 5:30 Mountain Time. 4 till 5:30 Mountain Time. So if you can't make it live, I know it's coming up in just a few days. We'll have a recording for you, but helping you to get the most out of Story Freedom, lives have been changed regularly in that room. Regularly. It's the norm. And so you'll want to know how to make the most out of that. That's on Monday. And that's that pre-event call that's for let me see. Yeah, that'll be us and others coming to Story Freedom. All right, questions. Marnie, I have not got to your question yet. I'm very aware of it. Some questions are more complex. I can't believe it's taken me this long, but you know, Jamie, hopefully it was worth waiting for. Hopefully we didn't deep dive. Sometimes, sometimes the longer you wait, the deeper dive that I feel I really want to give, you know. So maybe that's not very empowering on my part, but I do that. So Marnie, expect something good. All right. We have a couple of questions on deck from Mary Kay. And these ones are easier for me to answer offhand. Marnie's is like such a deep dive question. Oh my goodness, that requires thought. And we're in the midst of getting ready for the event as well. So hang in there, Marnie, right? Mary Kay, she says, if two speakers are sharing a talk together about a common theme, relationship and animal training, and one trains dogs and one trains horses, that's Mary Kay, what's the best way for me to inspire the horse people to get my free gift or do a strategy call? Okay, so first off, I assume that I'm going to make the assumption that, wow, this is somebody that I want to do the talk with. This is going to be super fun. And we've worked it out beforehand. So we know how we split the money, how we have an equitable arrangement. And it's somebody that I know well, so I don't do a deep dive. Or, you know, maybe it's, you know, just a once off. And so I'm going to have fun with it. So all that I'm assuming. And if you ever are, and for those who aren't Mary Kay, or if Mary Kay doing it again, when you're going to do, if you're thinking of doing a talk with somebody, ask me a question about it, because sometimes as we work with others, it's actually more challenging. And Mary Kay, you're an experienced speaker. I know you can do this, and it can be real fun as well. And it can be fun. It can be profitable. It can be wonderful, but it's actually a more challenging thing to do. Sometimes we think I'll have that other person, it'll be easier. And Mary Kay's nodding. Usually it is way more challenging. So don't do it first off out of the gate, and have a very, very, very good reason for doing it. And otherwise, man, stick with what you know and speak about. But Mary Kay's here, she's doing it, she's experienced, she knows it's going to be fun, she's aligned with it. I assume, yes, Mary Kay, all this is true. Okay, and then from there, answer the question, because I didn't want somebody to dive in and go and do a talk with somebody. That's really important. So then, one call to action. That's the tricky part too, when you have two people. It's a very tricky thing, because you always want only one call to action. So ideally, if you're, you know, if two people are speaking together, sometimes there's an agreement, they're going to go to one thing, and then whatever the benefits are, the second person is going to get some of that benefit in a deal that's arranged beforehand. That's an easier way to do it. Even that's tricky, but that's an easier way to do it. If you're taking one talk and taking them to two different places, that's a good question to ask, because it's tricky, which is why at the outset I would go, man, this is a leg up yoga move, you know, do it because it's fun, do it because, you know, but don't do it at first until you've got some experience behind you and you're good at closing from stage on your own. So how to go in two directions at once? It needs to sound like one call to them. That would be my best advice. Because people can't do more than one thing. And you know what? Because it's one thing, what I would do is have everybody, people can't do more than one thing. It's really hard to get them to do more than one thing, right? So what I would do is have everybody in the audience do one thing. And the one thing probably how I would do it is have an opt-in page. It's like, yes, I'd like to receive gifts from Mary Kay and her fellow speaker, right? And then you position what the gifts are about in the same way. You use the same language. You say, listen, and it might, you know, presumably you're speaking together because there's an energetic resonance, right? It's like, listen, everybody in the audience is going to benefit this. We put something together special just for you. Now make sure then that they go off into your different lists. And now you follow up separately because following up together is really complex. But you put one opt-in page together and you say, hey, all you got to do is click here and you're going to get this from Mary Kay and that from so-and-so. And what you're going to get from hearing from both of us is this, 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 and this. You're going to have your, you know, depending on where they are, your beloved animal listen to you in ways that have never happened before. You're going to feel aligned when you talk, you know, whatever the thing is, right? What's the main benefit? You need an overarching promise. And then these people can decide, and then you're going to do something about, yes, and I know if you don't work with horses, but man, if you listen in, see, I'd be making the argument. If you listen in, you're going to pick up a few things for your dogs. And those of you who, so I would just get, have everybody get everything. And if they click off afterwards, that's fine. But otherwise it's going to be really hard. And it's going to sound like, you know, because it doesn't just split along dog and horse lines, right? It splits along what you do and so on, and there's nuance of it. Does that make sense, Mary Kay?
I was kind of, I asked because I was kind of thinking that the people that wanted the horse stuff would come to me and the people that wanted the dog stuff would go to the other person.
Why I would never recommend doing this with somebody, unless, and Mary Kay, you are an experienced speaker. And so I know you can have fun with this, that this can work well for you. And so, but I wouldn't do this straight out of the gate. And I wouldn't have this take precedence over things that you're doing yourself, but it's like, it can be fun. It can be super. And it was like, but if you know that you can only call them to one thing and you let it be playful, you let it be an experiment and you, you know, because then you also have to get dog people line up over here. Well, then why am I not going to two different talks? Why am I not just listening to Mary Kay? Like all kinds of editors are going to come up for them. Why am I wasting my time hearing the other person then if only Mary Kay's stuff is for me? I don't get it. Like all kinds of things will pull in opposite directions. So, hey, here we are. We knew all of you needed something, X, whatever that X is. And here's the promise. What we're going to do here is this. And then all the things that we usually do apply. There's a PS, PS, et cetera, right? So you guys came with this problem. And then here's the solution to it. But the problem that remains is you don't know these things under one overarching promise. And so we've put this thing together for you. We've never done this before. We might never, ever do it again. But you're going to get these things from us. And it's going to teach you this, this, and that. It's one offer. But make sure then that it divides out. You don't want to go creating a program with somebody. Been there, done that, too hard. Stick with your stuff, right? Mary Kay, you're looking like, uh-oh. Is this, do you see a way forward with this?
Maybe.
Okay. Even if you can't create a single opt-in page, maybe it's, I don't know exactly when it's happening. If it's happening tomorrow or something like that. You can say, you can do a lower tech version of it. You can say, hey, for all of you who want, we've put a special, you don't even have to, it doesn't even have to be created. You just have to know what the promise is. Hey, we put a special something together for you guys. And all of you who want it, put your name and email address in the chat or send us an, or whatever it is, and we'll get it to you. And you just both send them. And then you've got a double opt-in so that they can opt into your list, something like that. So you, it doesn't have to be high tech. You could do that walking in right now. But you figure out what the thing is that they all need. And because they can only hear one call to action. And it might be, listen, you're going to be so happy to have, you know, this thing we put together for you, which may be both of your free gifts, right? But you talk about it wholly and you say, you're going to be so happy to get this because you're going to get, what's her name? Your partner?
Oh, Laura.
You're going to get Laura's genius about, I'm making this stuff up, this won't be right, but just how to stand beside an animal and not get scared. And everybody's going to need that. And once you've got that, how do you actually, you know, put your hand on them and make them feel loved? Well, you know, you're going to get this and so much more from Mary. So you create a story out of it, right? You need to put your heads together about, just as you did for the talk, about the thing that comes next. Okay, great question. Lean in if you have follow-up questions about it and lean in with the community. And lean in at story freedom too, because there's going to be, again, so much about both inner world story, outer world story, so much there for you. All right. Then Mary Kay says, second question, did I handle this okay? From coming from love, not fear. A client asked her if her granddaughter could listen in to a mentorship training call. My response, this isn't what I usually do, but I'm okay to make an exception this time since your granddaughter is visiting and you want to be together. But please just you on Zoom itself to keep the call exclusive for others in the mentorship. I see that. I think that's beautiful. Clear boundaries. This isn't what it's for. Generous. I'm making an exception this time. I see you. I know what's going on for you. And hey, I'm encouraging people asking, because ask and hear, it's given. I'm happy to do this for you because, you know, I can, and I, you know, I care about you, and let's do this. And then they know that that's not usually the way it rolls too. Perfect answer. One easy, one hard.
Thank you. That was
all right. So perfect examples of meta on the court. And the same about the talk. It's like, go back to the talk. Am I coming from love or fear? Wow, it's going to be fun to work with this other person. Oh, I'm a little bit afraid because Michelle just said it's got to be one call to action. But that'll be fun figuring that out. When I figure out that offer, I'll be so much better creating other offers all over the place in my company. And I'll start to see better how our work fits together, which will help us design the talk better anyway. How does it, why is it that we're even speaking together? If there's no overlap, why would we be speaking together? And what is it? What is it that is our separate zone of genius that each of us can contribute? And why would the dog owners want to listen in about the horses and vice versa? Because then we can say that the empowering story and the one that comes from love, not fear is, I'm so glad we're all together, gathered together, because in gathering together and having the both of us here, you benefit unbelievably. Instead of dog owners, you should have been listening to her, and horse owners, you should have been listening to me. Love, not fear. Okay. So I'd love to hear from one or two of you. That was a deep dive into questions. I thought they were easier than they were. Marty, you're in my heart, right? Jamie, it took a long time. Hopefully it was worth it. And it'd be disingenuous to say, hopefully, if you heard it, it was worth it. You know, if you heard it, right? We did a deep dive. So I'd love to hear from a couple of you. What did you hear for you and your company? Were you listening with ears about Mary Kay, but also for you? Now, does this apply? How does this apply to you? What are your ahas? I want to hear how you're hearing in the room. What did you hear this for you about something coming up? About your speaking, about how important it is to have one call to action, about trusting yourself and what you say to people, having boundaries. I mean, there's a whole bunch that we were covering this directly in the realm of love and kindness. And even if it's not, what did you hear? Let's hear some ahas. What's moving for you?
I'm listening and I'm picking up some things for the business, but I'm applying it more so to a personal scenario with a toxic family member that wants to try to rekindle the relationship. And, you know, how can I, because it's causing wasted energy in life, whether or not it applies to business, it's there in the background, you know?
And absolutely.
Just trying to pick up some of those nuggets for, you know, moving through that.
Yeah. And just to give you a little inside the party heads up, Story Freedom, just this morning, I've been working closely with Marie H., not Marie M., around a graphic that we're designing to talk about exactly that. You know, like there's a whole up leveling of Story Freedom because I'm not in the same place as I have ever been before. The world's not in the same place. And so how do we show that graphically, how much our lives and our companies flow to each other? We think, well, I'm just going to design my company over here. There's this toxic person. I'm always leaking energy, and then I see them maybe in front of me accidentally because that's what I see. And then somebody comes up to me and says something similar to that, and it's going to push all my buttons in a strategy session on stage or whatever, because they in some way are going to resemble that person. Of course, it's a company issue.
Oh, you know, that's an interesting layer, because the person was my example growing up of a salesman.
Ah.
Right? And you remember how I feel about sales. Well, what my image of sales was. And
right.
Most people.
Right. So absolutely important, both the meta meditation part and how do I find loving kindness for the, you know, enemy part, and how this shifts us not to be different from who we truly are, but more and more of us showing up. Does that make sense? Because if that person is, I feel my energy is drained and it feels like the relationship is toxic and there's like all this, I'm leaking energy everywhere. How can I possibly be all of myself, for my company, for my family, for the world? I don't know how to do it. I don't think it's possible. So therefore, the Love and Kindness series, it's right at the heart. The acronym for these inner story pieces that we do is ALLOW. There's the abundance series, the letting go series. The L is the middle L in allow, loving kindness, is right at the heart of the inner world story. It's right at the heart of what we do. If we miss this step, I don't know how to get there. I really don't. So yes, thank you. How do I apply it to that? And that piece around, you know, we don't have to change them too, right? They are who they are. They're not going to change, or maybe they will, maybe they won't, but it's not up to us, right? But the transformation that can happen inside us is phenomenal. And when I was working with one of my difficult people, goodness, when Dana was little, nearly, you know, 20 years ago now, and a wonderful person I was working with, she said that all that toxic stuff that's happening, you know, somebody's throwing at us, so that doesn't have any effect unless we've got a bucket to put it in. Huh. Love and kindness meditation helps us let go of that bucket. If they're telling us, yeah, your face is purple, or your face is orange, or the sky above you is pink and polka dotted, like, you know, it's like, there's no place to put that. None of that relates to me and my life. And so it bounces off, it has nothing to do with me. But if that stuff that they're raining at us, say, let's say we feel bombarded by that, if we've got a place to put it in, we can work on our bucket. And then they don't have power over us. We're in the driver's seat now. There's a story about the Buddha like that, where somebody comes in and tells him all kinds of horrible things about it, about him. And he says, you know, what happens if you invite a guest over for dinner and they don't eat the dinner, you know, or like... Oh, I'm going to mess up the story. So like, whose dinner is it? You know, or they give a gift, right? Oh, they give a gift. That's what it was. They give a gift and you don't accept it. You know, who does a gift belong to? It belongs to the person who was going to give it. Well, thank you. I don't receive your gift. So they're yours. All that negative energy raining down. It's theirs. It's theirs. And again, I know that's easier said than done, but at the heart of it, this loving kindness meditation is huge. This is the root there. This is the how. Am I making sense? Yeah. Huge for companies. People are always, unless they're clones of ourselves, and maybe they would drive us the most crazy. I don't know. Right? Not going to agree on everything. There's going to be difficult moments with difficult people at moments. This meditation teaches us how to unplug it all. So, okay. Anything else wanting to be said before we start? Because I wanted to go to remember love or fear, right? 2 weeks ago. And then the meta meditation, that's the how to come from love, not fear. And then we want to build on that today. But I wanted to not only remind, but deepen where we'd been with the meta meditation today. Because as a thought, as an idea, it doesn't do anything. And last week we got to it, but it's still just more like an idea form. I wanted to get it embodied. I wanted us to understand with the best words that I can find to say it, how deeply crucial this is for our companies and our lives. And again, if you have another practice that works for you, that's fine. I'm not attached. But this is the one that I found that changes everything. All right. Anything else bursting to be said, without which we cannot go forward? Okay. I'm just pausing just for a second because I want to think about where we are and how it connects with where we're going. I know both those pieces, but we're in a different now. And I'm looking for the bridge that will allow you to hear it the most easily. Here's what it is. Love and kindness isn't just for ourselves. It's not just for our ideal clients. It's not just for our vendors. It's not just for the work that we do. It's for all aspects of our company and our lives. What if we could truly deeply love on ourselves, our families, our enemies, traditionally speaking, our difficult projects, our beloved projects, our team, our, what if we could bless team members that have gone away even, you know, our partners like Mary Kay speaking together, our clients, our ideal clients, our potential clients, and the ones that threw tomatoes at us, you know, if it does include the ones that threw tomatoes at us in whatever way that is, then it's conditional love, isn't it? Like, you have to behave in a certain way, otherwise I won't love you. If you throw tomatoes at me, I can't love you. And when there was one story, a spiritual teacher, somebody said, listen, you haven't met my mother, you know? you can't love everybody. My mom would never let me love her. Maybe you've got somebody like that in your life, right? Mom, dad, cousin, spouse, kid, I don't know. Neighbor, friend, enemy, grade two teacher, I don't know. My mom would never let me love her. What the teacher said was, she could never stop you. She could never stop you. The only thing the other people have control over is the form of that love. Maybe it's compassion. Wow, you are spewing so much that you must be really hurting. I feel compassion for you. That person can't stop me from doing that. It's inside me. Then I get to be in the driver's seat. So love on our clients, our work, as ourselves as CEO of our company, as creators of our company, our team, every aspect of our company. What if every aspect of our company could be infused with that love? Well, what gets in the way of this? One of the things that gets in the way of this is that all that unworthiness, like I'm not worthy of love, that I can't even see why that person or that thing is beautiful anymore. Does that make sense? Yeah, well, there was this launch, but now that came up and I hate it. I can't see its beauty anymore. That person, well, they used to be nice, but then that and they did that and that and that and that. Now I can't see beauty there anymore. I'm just like, I just hate that and I'm pushing it away. Hatred and fear instead of love, right? So sometimes, here's another way to think about it, is that we need to reteach a thing or a person or a being its own loveliness. We need to reteach a thing, a person, their own loveliness, their own beauty, their own lovableness. Isn't that what we do in our work in many ways? We're always letting that person see the highest in themselves in and through the work that we do in that area. Isn't that so? Reteaching loveliness. Can you see that in your own work? The beauty of the person's words, the beauty of their company, the beauty of their training, the beauty of their relationship with their horse, the beauty of their own life journey, the beauty of their relationship to God or the spirit. Like, we're reteaching a thing is loveliness. Am I making sense? I wanted to just share with you. Some of you have heard this before. I've heard it many, many, many times. You can close your eyes if you want. It's just a beautiful poem called St. Francis and the Sow. And every time I read it, it's giving me chills just as I'm about to read it. Because it's exactly about this. And Marie, I know, yeah, you know. It's about this reteaching a thing is loveliness. So nothing you need to remember here. You can just let these words drop in like rain. St. Francis and the Sow. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower, for everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it's necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. As St. Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and in touch, blessings of earth on the sow, and the sow began remembering all down her thick length, from the earthen snout all the way through the fodder and the slops to the spiritual curl of the tail, from the hard spininess spiked out from the spine down through the great broken heart, to the sheer blue milk and dreaminess spurting and shuddering from the 14 teats into the 14 mouths, sucking and blowing beneath them the long, perfect loveliness of the sow. What did you hear in those words? What stayed with you? There's nothing that you're supposed to remember. There's nothing that you needed to get. Each person's experience is different, but I just want to hear some words that you remember, some things that you recall. Who would like to share? Andrea.
I really like the line where it said, like, the bud itself, it blooms inside. Until it blooms inside.
It blooms inside of self-blessing. If we haven't started there, if we haven't got our own cup full, it's like we have to know how to do that if we're going to be able to do that for another. And we take such a surface level of that as enough and then go out and try to do that for another. Can we do that really actually in every cell? It blooms from the inside. Thank you. Let's hear one more. What else did you hear in this? Yeah, Mary Kay.
I heard you could find loveliness and beauty everywhere.
Yes. Everywhere. Thank you. And I've got those chills again. You know, we go, well, yeah. I mean, there's beauty in the world, but not there, not there. And I can love people, but not that one, not that one. And we live such a conditional life and conditional companies. And yes, there's real reasons for it. And yes, that person was awful. And yes, that one didn't work. And yes, right. But how can we find more of ourselves? So more is more of who we really are. We're meant to love. We're not meant to hate. I really truly believe that. We're meant to find ease. We're meant to find loveliness in ourselves. It's our natural way of being until something has shaken us out of that. And even the sow, these are not traditional images of beauty, right? You know about images now, right? These aren't traditional images of beauty like a sunset. It's a sow. Even the images aren't that pretty in a sense, right? And yet it's lovely. Thank you. Anything else? Anything else bubbling up for you? All right. So from the first call, are we coming from love or fear? How crucial that is for our companies to come from love. We clearly established that on the first call. Second call, the metta meditation as our how. How do we get there then? And in a way, I'm giving another how. The metta meditation is one route there. And here's another route there to reteach a thing and starting with ourselves, our own loveliness. But hang on, isn't that what the metta meditation is doing anyway? Remember what Sharon Salzberg said? She dropped the soap and she went, oh, you're such a klutz and I love you. She was reteaching herself her own loveliness. Make sense? Can you hear that? The meditation does that for ourselves and then progressively out into the world. Then somebody does something we don't like because that's going to happen in our companies. One of the things we need to do, strategy sessions, for instance, if we're doing them well, maybe one in three, maybe one in four, maybe one in five people will say yes. If it's much, much less than that, we might not be drawing from the right pool of people. If it's much, much, many, many more than that, we're not being brave enough to ask enough people, you know? That's a good number. One in three people, one in four, one in five. That means a lot of people are going to be saying no. They're saying things that we don't want. And we might mix them up with all those other unlovely people that we have bumped into in our lives. And then it's hard to hear them. All this cuts through those blocks in speaking, in strategy sessions, in all the work that we do and working with our team. So we can continually see the beauty in others. And if we can't see it in ourselves, it's going to be a surface level beauty in others. Does that make sense? It's kind of like, well, I'm really awful and I hate myself, but I love you. How much do you believe that person? Really? It's not an extra. It's not a nice to have. It's a must do. Finding the loveliness first in ourselves and then others. So if that makes sense to you, that's one way to look at what the metta meditation is doing. It's a deep finding of our own loveliness again and honoring ourselves enough. And we wouldn't even do it if we didn't see that worthiness in us. It's an act of worthiness itself to send those blessings to ourselves at the beginning of the meta meditation. Does that make sense? So if you can see that one way to look at the meta meditation is like rediscovering our own loveliness and that of others, raise your hand. Did I land that point? I've never taught it quite from that angle before that I remember. But it's a good way to think about it. All right. So if we know that what we want is to create that company that comes from love, not fear, yes, we do the meta meditation. And then also we want to establish that beauty. I mean, really, it's also letting us see the beauty in the world around us, right? The arrows go both ways. We're cultivating that beauty. It's letting us see the beauty in the world around us. And the beauty in the world around us comes back to us, you know, in the form of a blessing for us, right? Well, what's another way that we can reteach ourselves our own loveliness? How can we do it? The metta meditation, yes. There's a really powerful practice, one more that I want to give you. And that's the practice of discovering who our ideal listener is. Who our ideal listener is. This is the last teaching segment that I want to give you to complete our loving kindness series. And if it makes sense that I want to discover at deeper and deeper levels my own loveliness, because if I don't, I can't see it in others. If that makes sense, you raise your hand. If I don't know that, I can't get there. Okay, we got that 100%. Okay, good. So here's something that sometimes happens with entrepreneurs. And it's kind of like a fatal flaw, you know, like it just doesn't work when we come from that. But many entrepreneurs are doing this all the time without and unconsciously. Let's say here I am. I don't see my own loveliness. I don't believe in my stuff. I don't know my own value. I don't know my own loveliness. I just drop this open. I go, boy, are you stupid? Why are you always doing that? It's my automatic inside. You know, we have these editors, right? And then I go out there in the world and I want to find team members and clients and joint venture partners and so on, right? If I can't see my own loveliness, I start looking outside. I'll start looking outside for love in all the wrong places. Unconsciously, it's something like this. And even though this sounds weird, think about it for a minute. And I know you know this to be true when you let yourself know it. If I don't know about me, truly my own loveliness, the deep value, the pricelessness of all of who I am, aren't I going to go looking for it in others? Maybe even, for instance, my team members, maybe the clients that I serve. Let's take clients for a minute. I'm in the strategy session. I so want this person to say yes. And when they say yes, I'm validated. Make sense? Think about the psychological thing that's going on there. Yay, because you said yes to me, I feel good. I feel validated. I know myself. And now I'm filled up for the moment. I know myself to be plentiful, to be loved. I'm good. If that makes sense to you, even if we don't like to look at it, if that makes sense to you, raise your hand. Do you get that? Oh, dangerous, right? Because then what happens is bizarre. And I think it's happening in the industry all over the place. Just watch and you'll start to see it now that I've, you know, now you won't be able to not see it, right? I want that person to validate me. Now, who's the hero of the journey for one thing? I am, right? I so want that person to validate me. And then they say, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's for me. I'm going to get affronted. Because now all of a sudden my feeling of self-worth, like it's dependent on that because I didn't find it inside myself, is hinged on what they're saying. And I can't hear anymore. I can't hear. I'm so stuck in myself as the hero of the journey because I haven't figured that out yet. I haven't filled up my cup of plenitude about me and myself. That I'm going to seek it in them, and then the words are going to come out a little wonky. I'm going to need them to do something just a little more. I'm going to be just a little more affronted when they say no. If it doesn't work out quite right, they're going to remind me of that person who did that thing to me before, whatever it is. And then there's no clarity of communication. Then there's no being able to actually hold space to be a channel for that person in that moment. If that makes sense to you, raise your hand. Yeah, lots of you are hearing that. I'm seeing nods all around the room. I think that's 100%. If it makes sense to you that that's like a slippery slope and dangerous, and maybe it's happening quite a bit out in the industry, raise your hand. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Thank you. Nobody's talking about this stuff, right? So what's the antidote then? Well, the meta meditation, absolutely. Like meditate, like your hair is on fire. Like one meditation teacher said, like if we knew how urgent it was, you know? Like, just freaking do it. Like, okay, I don't know what else to say, just freaking do it, right? And me too. I teach this so that I will re-remember. I want that for myself, right? And then instead of having our client or our team member, whoever it is, let's take our client for, or our potential client, somebody you're meeting, networking, or somebody you're, who is your client or potential client in a strategy session, say, instead of needing something from them to fill up our own worthiness, to fill up our own cup, to remind ourselves our own loveliness, what if I already had my ideal listener? What if I already knew my ideal listener? What if I already felt so listened to, and I created those structures in my life? I can do it both as an exercise on the page, and I can do it concretely in my life. When I have that, am I going to need that person in front of me? Just, you know, it's an audience, it's teaching, it is a client or a potential client or a vendor partner or a team member. Am I going to need them in that same way to say that thing that I want them to say so I feel full? If I already know that I'm full, that I'm complete, that I have been heard deeply, 100% with every cell, now I'm free. Did you hear that? Did I find the words to say it? Thank you. Let me give you an example. I knew I wanted the next level of this training today. I also just came out of another training that I did this morning, and I'm running a team meeting this afternoon. There's been a lot going on for me. And so I needed to settle into the material, and I needed to find that plenitude in myself. Does that make sense? In order to find the words to say it. So you know what I did? And I didn't even think about it. And then I laughed after I did it. You know what I did? My daughter's sitting out there in the living room. I said, Dana, do you have 3 minutes? She's often been my ideal listener. There's different people in your life that can be that. And even if there's nobody, we can construct that. Dana, do you have 3 minutes? Because I'm about to teach my people about love and kindness. And I just want to see, does this make sense to you? Can you hear this? And I know she's going to be truthful. I know she's been learning this her entire life long. And I know she will deeply hear me. Can you feel me breathing differently even as I'm talking about it? When we find our ideal listener, and it doesn't have to be, it could be that nobody has ever listened to you in your life before. It doesn't matter. This community listens. This community, we're learning about stories, about listening to people's stories about you. This community, man, lean in. Amazing ideal listeners here, even if they don't exist anywhere else in your world. And if you're not sure, you can construct that person on paper. And it can change the world. Breathing differently, not attached. Because see, the thing is, what if I walked in and I've got this next level version of how I want to teach this? If I walk in attached, what happens? If I'm needing to be my cup to be filled up from you, if I don't know that, hey, this stuff rocks, because it does. I know it does, right? But what if I didn't know that? Then I need you to get it. If you don't get it, then I worry there's something wrong with me. And then I'm going to push on you. And it's going to be for me instead of for you. Can you hear it? Even teaching gets distorted. I've already been heard. In this case, it was a concrete example. And I just did it naturally without. And then I started laughing because I wasn't thinking about teaching that piece of it, right? I did it naturally with my daughter. I knew she would hear me. Then I'm full, and then I can be a channel, and then I can come in and do my work. If it makes sense to you that to have an ideal listener can make a difference, a profound difference in your company, in your life, raise your hand. Did I find the words to say it? I'm not attached whether or not. Yeah, y'all got it. 100%. Okay. So who is this ideal listener? We want to construct them. We want to notice them. We want to bring them into our lives. Again, this community, a community of ideal listeners, we're learning the skill. And also there's a gate. Anybody who's not an ideal listener is going to go away either sooner or later, because this is a place of listening, right? So that ideal listener, they're going to come from love. They're going to see the beauty in me. And I will then, as a result, see the beauty in myself. And then I won't be attached in those other places. So I want to envision somebody listening to me with the ears of deep love, deep attention, seeing my beauty. And do you get how this works with the metta meditation as well? As I'm continually sending metta, loving kindness to myself, to that loved one. And then I actually fall in love with that neutral person. For instance, remember that secret love affair thing, you know, that they never know about? That's what it feels like, because you just fall in love with them. We're cultivating that same quality of love and kindness inside ourselves. We're seeing it in others. And we're starting to see that, you know, beautiful person in front of us. So we're starting to construct the idea that that's who people are. Much easier to find our ideal listener. Does that make sense? If I see the world filled with enemies, I'm not going to think there's any ideal listeners anywhere. If I start to infuse the world with love, there's going to be a whole, but there's going to be all kinds of ideal listeners everywhere. If that made sense, raise your hand. Again, I don't remember ever teaching that before. I'm understanding this material to a new level. Yeah. Marie, have you heard this before in this way? Yvonne, I don't think I've taught it in this way before in 10 years, right? Next level. I'm so excited for Story Freedom. It's next level. All right. So I want to find that ideal listener. Doing the metta meditation itself will help me find them, because I'm cultivating that in myself. And sometimes we're so wanting others to love us, our clients, our team, or whoever, you know, our family members, etc. And the way to get that is to give it out anyway, is to give it out. So we give it out in the metta meditation. We give it out. We give it out. We give it out. We give it away. It comes back to us tenfold, but we don't do it for that. We just give it away. Then we got to feel loved, for one thing, right? And then from that place, we construct our ideal listener. There's a beautiful book called Write from the Heart. It's designed for writers, not entrepreneurs, but there's much that entrepreneurs can learn from writers. And writers, if their words are heard, are also entrepreneurs. If they gain an audience, those entrepreneurial skills are needed by writers as well. So a lot of flow back and forth. All right. So it's a book for writers, Write from the Heart, Hal Zina Bennett. And he's got a beautiful process about finding our ideal listener. And he said, one guy in his class, he said, hey, write a little, you know, and I'm going to suggest that you do this. Let me see. We'll either do this and we might get this started in a couple minutes, then you can complete this exercise after the call, right? But he had this little exercise like, hey, write a little piece about your ideal listener. And he said, this one guy, he wasn't listening at all. He ended early. Obviously, he didn't get it. He had the guy read and he was like, oh my goodness, he really got it. And the guy who wrote this piece, he said, my Tio Juan, he's my good listener. And he just remembered when he was a little boy and his uncle would stand there by the tractor on a hot summer day and just listen to this little boy, like with his full grown-up attention. Who does that for a little kid? For him, it was just a scrap of a memory. How his uncle listened to him. No place else to go. Can you see him? He's standing by the tractor. Time of no import. Full grown-up attention, not listening like as though you're lesser and a kid. Filled with this image, this memory of his uncle. So let's take just a couple of minutes. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes for a moment. And bring to mind someone who is or has been your ideal listener. If your life has felt like there hasn't been anyone like this, then choose someone in this room. That person is there, okay? It might be a grandmother, grandfather long ago. It might be your uncle or aunt, like it was for this writer. It might be an animal. It might be a child or an elderly person. It might be your a close friend. But let the image of a single person arise up inside you. Know that you can repeat this exercise another time. Be easy about this person who's arose in front of you. There's a reason they came up. Trust it. See this person in front of you. the embodiment of your ideal listener. Bring them close up to you. See them in full color standing in front of you. Where are you both standing? How tall are you? Are you inside or outside? What does the air smell like? What's the look on their face? Is there anything beside or around you? Are they holding anything in their hands? See them. Start with something from the senses, something you touch or feel or see. If you're not sure what to start with a scrap of their clothing. Open your eyes and write for 3 minutes. So you can start with their name. So-and-so is my ideal listener. Start to write about them. Trust what comes. Keep the pen to the page. Whatever it is, it's perfect. 3 minutes. So-and-so is my ideal listener. Begin. And finishing up the last sentence or two. Taking the writing to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. All right. Thank you. So this is just a 3-minute writing, but the words are powerful. You really can come back to this, and I encourage you, write for 20 minutes about this. Be the best 20 minutes you've ever spent in your company, I would say. When we get this, everything shifts. So I'd love to hear from one or two of you. What's opening for you now after this short writing? What did you discover as you wrote about your ideal client? Not ideal client, very different. Ideal listener. Overlap, but not the same. Who would like to share? You could share the writing. You could share what you felt about it. Share what's opening for you now. Yeah, Marie, thank you.
I've done this so many times. There's always new stuff.
And you heard what she said, right? So important.
Yeah.
Every time. Thank you.
So what I learned from this is that as I spend time with my ideal listener who is a real person, I'm also in return one of her ideal listeners. So it's a reciprocal thing. So I was really struck by that in this writing.
Beautiful. And what a great world to live in. Think of it that way too. I mean, not to mention the huge benefits for our companies, but isn't that, I don't know about you, that's a world that I want to live in. Last chapter of my PhD, listening differently. What if we could live in a world of deep listening? How beautiful is that? Not to mention it grows our companies, helps us get our message out there. We build the company that these are ours to build too, because that person listens to us, right? They can hear at a deeper level. Fantastic. Thank you, Marie. It's reciprocal. We end up living in that reciprocal world. Yeah, it makes sense. Beautiful. And it's not a tit for tat kind of world either. It's so much bigger than that. Yeah. What else? Let's hear from one more of you about this exercise in particular. Yeah, Mary Kay.
I raised my hand because I want to share, but now it's like, okay, what I want to share is my ideal listener was an animal, and there was the wordless stuff going. She listens to all the wordless words. And that's, that makes it all together, like we're one together, like we're not even two creatures. We're all one together.
So beautiful, Mary Kay. And I just it's a beautiful and whole in and of itself. Fantastic. So beautiful. And then I just want to gesture over here. Remember what Mary Kay was talking about at the beginning of the call? She's like, but we're two people, and how is it going to go to one thing? And then Mary Kay just had this embodied experience of like, oh my goodness, we're just one. Sometimes these things are highly tactical, like things that, that's a war word, but like on the ground that we use on the court every day, but we don't notice it. They feel a little bit more like inner world. So I'll just go do the inner world stuff and then I'll get to the real stuff. Not all of these are directly connected. Mary Kay will enter into that partnership, giving that talk very differently when she comes from this place. And it wasn't just to answer that question earlier. It does so, so much more than that. But among the many things that it does, it also gives her a deep, embodied, different approach to that question she had at the beginning. Because I was saying, hey, make it one. And now she just said, oh, I just experienced this one. she's gonna land it at a very different level coming from that place. Thank you. All right. And this part that you said about the wordless words, I wrote along with you, and different people have come up. It's, two-thirds of the time it's my daughter that comes up in this writing, I would say, but it's other people as well. This time it was my daughter. And there was a flash of a memory that I have not thought about in a long time. But I remember when she was just little, and I was finishing my PhD. And I picked her up once. I picked her up once from daycare, and she was 4 years old. And I finished, I think, the final chapter of my thesis. Something like that. She must have been three or four. She was very young, and she just lit up. Like everything in her lit up. I said, "Mommy, finish the chapter." Like, what do you know at three or four about what that means? But everything in her lit up. And she was so excited and so happy for me in a way that others around me that were in the busy adult world weren't hearing. So I love what you said, animals, little children, elderly people with Alzheimer's, it could be anybody, you know, and anything. But that where they embody that deep, deep listening. And then we discover new aspects of listening as we start to see who they are. We discover new aspects of listening as we discover who they are. And that is an essential skill as an entrepreneur, that we listen differently. The last piece that I wanted to teach you, that I want to share with you this afternoon, and the last piece to finish out our loving kindness series, is I just wanted to underline the difference between ideal client, ideal listener. Remember I said they're not the same thing? They can be. They can be. I've definitely had many ideal clients who easily are and have been in writings of mine, in, you know, actual tangible ways, ideal listeners. But sometimes my ideal client will function as my ideal listener, but not always. If I need them to be my ideal listener, we have all the mess that I talked about earlier, right? That kind of psychological need, right? That I'm hurt when they can't hear and et cetera, and I get all balled up. And I won't say the hard things that I need to say because I'm afraid. What if they don't get it? You know, what if they don't hear right, et cetera, if I'm wanting them to have to be my ideal listener? There's overlap, but they're not the same thing. If they were always my ideal listener, they probably wouldn't need the work. If they could hear that perfectly, they would already know this area really, really, really well. So they can't be the same person, right? It's important that they overlap and they become more and more our ideal listener as they go deeper inside the party. Does that make sense? Because they're understanding this area more and more and more. They're able to hear, at least in that area, more and more. So sometimes they're going to be, but I want to not need them to be my ideal listener, but eventually more and more of my ideal clients are more and more of my ideal listener. They're going to hear me. They're going to hear you. They're going to hear us. Because if they can't, we can't help them, right? But I don't want to need them to be my ideal listener. Now, when I have my ideal listener and I know who they are, I can be that ideal listener for my ideal client. I become the ideal listener. I've learned it from practicing it and having that ideal listener in my life. And isn't that what we need? We need the ear to hear who that person is. We want to be that person for them. No better way than constructing that for ourselves, finding that person for ourselves. Then it's not that I need you to listen when I'm in a strategy session, for instance. It's that I'm hearing you. That's world changing. And I remember what one of our clients said a while back. She said, you know, there's a really great example. She said, you know, my designs, the work that I do, it's sacred to me. So then when people didn't hear it, I got hurt. Ugh, we avoid all that. No, they can't always hear. That's why we're there to help them. That's okay. If they can't hear anything, they're not our ideal client. There's some overlap. It's like a Venn diagram, you know, they're not way over here. There's overlap, but they're not a perfect ideal listener. They become more and more and more so as they do the work. When I have my own ideal listener, I have them inside me. I'm so much more confident. I can say the things I need to say to that person because it doesn't matter what they say back. I'm not attached because I already have my ideal listener over here off to this side. I've built that for me. I'll say the hard things. I'll listen more deeply. I don't mind hearing the things that I might not want to hear. And that's a profound skill for a strategy session, for giving a talk, for every aspect of our companies, for listening to what's really going on with our team. Every aspect of our company is impacted, not just impacted. This forms the core of what we build. Yeah, Jamie.
So I have a little bit of a disconnect with the exercise. I'm trying to listen for it, but I think I may have caught it. So I want to confirm. So the going through that exercise and describing that person and understanding that person, the reason was to help us understand and know in our gut that that person already existed for us.
Yes,
so thank that you. We have you the confidence it. That we don't need the prospect in front of us to be that.
You have it exactly. You didn't miss anything. Yes.
Okay.
The more I know who that person is and I know their existence and I know that they're there on the page and I discover more and more of who they are and they're real to me and it's a practice and it grows. I become so full up. I'm not needy anymore out there. That's the primary teaching. There's a secondary teaching. When I can see that person, now here's the next level of teaching. I know who that person is. I can kind of flip it. And now I can be that person because I've understood who an ideal listener is for me. I can now be that person for the person in front of me. And that is gold. That is our 7-8-figure company and beyond. That is at the center of everything.
Because now the people we're listening to, our prospects, our potential clients, feel such a deep connection to us because we're being that person.
And how could we be that person if we didn't even have that person in our own lives?
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you for underlining that core pieces, absolute core pieces in the training and rounding up our call today. So just a reminder again, I hope you all are coming to Story Freedom. It's going to be a deep, deep dive. I was teaching at another 3-day event this morning, and somebody said this morning at another event, it's like, what you taught in just those 2 minutes, that's what I came for the whole event for, right? And she was in tears. And 3 full deep dive training and interaction, and that will, and for each one in this room, it will build on everything that we're doing here. And again, from my heart to yours, if there's somebody that you know needs this work, it's an extremely low bar, so easy for them to get there. Like I say, I think it's $97 for you, because there's that $100 off for somebody that you want to bring. And that's also coming from love, not fear. You see somebody out there, their story is tangled up. You know that there's these 3 days sitting there. It's like, oh, but they might not like it. Oh, but they might not be able to come. Oh, but, you know, am I coming from love or fear? That could really serve that person. Just one quick note, and you have the possibility to change somebody's life. And that's, you know, that's an easy gift to give. So if there's somebody that you know, who do you know who should be in that room with you? And then you've also got an accountability partner. You've got them here in this room, and maybe they come from other parts of your life that they can start to hear what it is you're learning here. You've got somebody who can come along with you. They can be a more ideal listener for you too, as they come along this journey with you. So if you'd like to do that, again, I think Yvonne, you'd put that in the chat, the link, or the, it's not the link, the save $100 off for them. It's SF2021 friend. And it's at storyfreedomlive.com. And for you guys, if you haven't registered yet, storyfreedomlive.com, promo code SFVIP for you guys. That's my gift to you. All right, let's round out today's call. Next time we meet, and just I want you to encourage you to notice the different ways that we meet and the different ways that I and then we are interacting and why that's happening. Like, ask questions at those level. At that level, I always do that. Why am I speaking this way over here and this way over here? How is this integrated with a longer journey? Have an eye to that as well, in addition to what the content is for next week. Tons to learn at that level. So we'll meet next for Story Freedom, then for the Story Freedom Consolidation call the week after, and also the call Monday. Don't forget the call Monday, 4:00. So lots to serve and support you. One aha, one inspired action. Thanks for coming. If anybody's still here and able to speak, if not, post it on the Facebook page. Post on the Facebook page. So one aha, one inspired action to bring us home. Let's hear from, either of you. I can see 2 of you now. So who's up first?
I can start. Thank you. Owning my own loveliness.
Thank you.
Am I inspired action? Getting ready for Story Freedom.
Yes, yes. Yvonne's on the team. I know you know, my friend. All the love that gets poured into that event. There is countless hours and days and weeks being prepared for each one of you lovingly for that room. I just, you know, and thank you, my friend. Yvonne has put countless hours into getting ready for all you guys. So yes, and I will see you in that meeting shortly, the team meeting that we'll be in together. Marnie, one aha, one inspired action.
My aha was that I need an ideal listener, and that when I really understand what I want from that person, I can be the ideal listener for others.
Exactly. Thank you. Succinct, beautiful, right at the core of the message of this call, which means that I landed the theme, the purpose of this call. Thank you. And your inspired action.
I want to finish this exercise and really think about what was coming up for me.
Brilliant. That is a fabulous use of your time. Yes. Thank you. Wendy, are you in a place where you can speak? Speak now or forever hold your peace. You may only be in listening mode. I don't know. Okay. Thank you so much. This concludes our Loving Kindness series, but this does not conclude the work. It's not a once and done, right? So keep coming back to this. Keep posting in the Facebook page. And really the most important thing for this week, engaging in Story Freedom, a ton of support for you there. So have a fantastic day, everybody. I can't wait to see you next week, Monday, for our pre-call, 4:00, and then Story Freedom, 3 deep dive days. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye for now.